I'm Frank Vaughn. It is January 26, 2025, and it's a Sunday. And what we're going to do here is we're going to try and tidy up the desk. The first segment's going to be about Pierre Poilievre. We're going to call it the good, the bad, and the ugly. We're going to do it through user comments, and then I'm going to move on to all the things in the browser and on my desktop that I haven't got around to talking to for the last week or two. The first is going to be titled The Good, which might be surprising. It's from Robert Brown. Frank, do you honestly believe that Poilievre, Trudeau, Carney, Singh, any of them do the thinking? Come on, man, you're smarter than that. F you for voting for Poilievre. Look, I've talked about the headwinds that Poilievre is going to face. And I will talk about in this video the things that I think Poilievre gets wrong. Objectively speaking, as a pragmatist, my life will improve under Poilievre if he does what he says he's going to do, and he has every incentive to do what he says he's going to do, even if in the opinions of some, and in sometimes my own opinion, what he's putting on the table is limited. If he gets tough on crime, and criminals actually stay in jail, and we get rid of this safe supply, safe injection horse manure that is filling our streets with meth heads and fence zombies, that would be a positive. If violent criminals aren't allowed to reoffend, if we start deporting violent criminal so-called new Canadians, my life would improve from that. If we get recognition that there's only two sexes and that gender constructs should never have been separated from sex in the first place, if we protect kids from so-called hormone therapies, which is on the agenda, my life would improve. If we get rid of the carbon tax, my life would improve. There's a lot of things that the Poilievre-led CPC, including getting rid of C-21, getting rid of the ordering councils, all of the guns that are stuck in your safe you might get to take out and shoot again. You, the law-abiding Canadian, the firearms license holder, who is literally the most vetted Canadian in this country, you're more thoroughly vetted as a lawful gun owner than many of the immigrants who come into this country. That's a fact. So you shouldn't be criminalized. Life will get better for you under a Poilievre-led government. Nobody's going to be perfect to your individual needs. And look, in the last election with Aaron O'Toole, I sat it out. I didn't vote for anybody for the first time in my life because I could not reward such a pathetically led Conservative Party of Canada. I couldn't do it. And that's fine. That's my choice. And that's your choice too. You don't have to do it. But from a pragmatic perspective, Poilievre gets in, and even if he completes his limited agenda, my life will improve. And he may not be able to get some of those things done because of all the institutional opposition that I've highlighted in all of my videos on this subject up to this point. Now, you can be like Robert Brown, and you can cuss me out, and you can do whatever, and you can say that somehow in your mind, Maxime Bernier and the PPC is perfect, even though I've highlighted how Bernier was part of the Harper government. They sold us out too. How Bernier is more or less just created a private corporation where the members have no rights, and all it does is funnel him wages and an expense account. I mean, and this is the other thing about the PPC that bothers me. They lie. They lie as much as the Liberals do. They say that Poilievre supported mandates, vax passes, mandates, mandatory vaccine orders, and none of that is true. That is all a complete lie. He tried multiple times to ban those things. If there's plenty of room to criticize Pierre Poilievre and still be fact-based, I do it all the time, and I'm going to do it in this video. Why do they got to lie? Because they're desperate. They're desperate because they're within the margin of error, which is where they're always going to remain. And then Bernier is going to come along when we get an election. He's going to spend all your money. And then he's going to retire and he's going to dump a broke party on your backs. And then you'll actually get your member votes. Then you'll get your constitution when he's gone and the money's all gone. And the PPC will disappear, which is the intention. The guy's going to betray you. And when he does, and when you figure it out, I'll be here to comfort you, because that's what I've done over the last 5 years. For all the people who cursed me and demeaned me for leaving in 2020, I've been here for every single one when they finally figured out the scam. And that's exactly what the PPC is. Poilievre is in a position to win an election. He's in a position to improve my life, which is why, in spite of the problems I have with him, I'm still going to vote for him, because look it, my primary interest being in Saskatchewan, living out here in the West, is not the federal government anymore. It's the provincial governments, and it's what we can do against the Federation, in opposition to the Federation, to bring a more fair and equitable adjustment at some point in the future, or to strike out on our own, or make a deal with the Americans. We got to do something. Because one of the things, when it comes to Polyev, that he will not fix is the constitutional problems in this country. He's not looking to do anything about equalization. He's not looking to do anything to check Quebec's power. He's not looking to give us more say in our politics. He's not looking to make the Senate elected. He's not looking to make the Governor General elected. He's not looking to enhance the power of the people. That's a problem for me. I'm still going to vote for him because of all the other things. And these other, and we'll work on the rest of it in various ways that we can. But that's it. And if you don't like me and you want to curse at me, just go right ahead. It's like so much wind, it just washes over me. And the next one we're going to call The Bad. And this is from Breathe 2.0. Just some thoughts, and I am in no way an expert, a humble man. I like that. It's why you made the cut, man. I am wondering if we listened to the same interview from CTV News, because I didn't get that impression at all. What I heard in the first few seconds, he states he doesn't want a trade war, hurts both countries, but it is coming, so be surgical in the focus of those tariffs. We're going to start there, actually. I was going to read the whole thing first, but we'll just do that first. Polyev just used words. He talked about being surgical. He talked about being targeted. He used all these words, they're like sorcery. They're designed to convey the impression that his strategy is somehow different from Team Canada's, but it's not. Substantively, he would engage the trade war. Yes, he used different language, just words, empty words, political stuff. The guy's a politician. I'm not judging him. If you're going to play politics in this country, you have to talk a certain way, at least some of the time. That's why I've never been any good at politics, and I find it rather offensive when people call me a politician, because I'm not. But he used this careful language, and he broached these subjects with different verbiage than Team Canada is using. But it's kind of like you're in a house, and Singh and Trudeau and Polyev all intend to set it on fire. Now, Singh wants to dump a whole pile of gasoline all over the place and set off a bunch of dynamite. Trudeau, he wants to just make a big pile in the middle of the floor out of some wood and light it on fire and see what happens. And Polyev wants to like make a bunch of little fires all over the kitchen. The end result is the whole house is going to burn down. It's just a matter of what approach you take to burning the house down. So on this, this is one of the things that I disagree with Polyev on. Trump has said that the issue between Canada and the United States is fentanyl and human trafficking and a weak, porous border and issues with our immigration system. We don't do vetting and we harbor terrorists. Cartels have heavy influence in our ports. And it's and we, the Chinese operate police stations up here. There's a security concern. If it's really about trade, what we should be doing is forcing him to talk about that specific thing. And the way we would do that is by getting in front of American press and signaling that we're doing things about all the issues that Trump has highlighted and then acting like victims saying, why are you still going to proceed with tariffs when we're responding and we're responsive to what you want? But we're not doing that. Our rhetoric is to claim a strong position and talk about launching a trade war. Now listen, I've said this before and I'll say it again. Trudeau, Singh, Polyev, Ford, all the premiers, all the MPs, none of them are going to miss a meal. None of them are going to feel the pain. It's the public that's going to feel the pain. And specifically, Alberta and Saskatchewan, probably worst of all, are going to feel the pain if the government does what it claims it's going to do with the Team Canada approach. And since they control the media, you may not hear about how painful it is out here, which is why we need to seek our fortune elsewhere, which is why I've talked about negotiating with the Americans. At the very least, if the premiers openly started talking to the Americans about statehood, it would apply pressure to Ottawa to actually do something about this broken federation. Maybe they would want to make a deal. Maybe they'd want to have a discussion in public. The only way we're going to rectify a situation that's gone on for decades is if we start having a public discussion about it and applying pressure. If it looks like there's an American rescue coming along for the West, and they actually care about holding the country together, they might be encouraged to actually fix something. Because up to this point, nobody wants to do anything for us. In fact, Polyev has come out and said, on equalization, I'm not going to do anything. Continuing this comment, on the equalization payments, don't scare the crap out of the East. Make them prosperous and focus on growing their economies so that money isn't needed. And again, it's just mealy-mouthed words. It is rhetoric for the masses. This is a way of saying nothing while sounding like you're saying something. This is what politicians do. Cut interprovincial tariffs. That would be great. Make Canada more self-sufficient. This is back to the whole energy project thing. And this is a file that Polyev hasn't really had anything to do with for the last 10 years. This has been in the control of the Liberal Party and the NDP. We should have had Energy East. We should have had dozens of energy projects that would have created resilience for Canada. But they opposed them. We haven't broken ground on any of them. We don't even have them approved. So all this talk, which is what it is, it's rhetorical talk. It's just wind. Talking about doing these things now, there is no now in the equation. You can get the approvals done, and we can move forward on them, but nothing's going to happen. Canada will not become more resilient for many, many years, if at all, because another government could come along and cancel it again. Our government, Team Canada as a whole, has made us dependent on America and American business. And now they want to take that away, and they want to signal that they want to create resilience, and they want to talk about creating resilience, which they all know they can't do anytime to save us from this trade war, which is why it is particularly offensive that they continue down the trade war path. It's particularly offensive to me when Polyev tries to sound different, but substantively he's exactly the same on this file as Trudeau and Singh. It is the wrong approach. And the premiers of the provinces, particularly the ones being victimized by the Federation, should really be signaling a break from Ottawa. Now is the time we could make a deal if we apply the pressure and we have the vision. Whether we make a deal with Ottawa or we make a deal with the Americans, we can make a deal on our own and tell these guys, these establishment people who don't want to change anything, to stuff it. We're sick of being ripped off. Now's our opportunity. And now for the ugly. Cliff M. says, hi, Frank, really like your direct, no BS style. Speaking as a recent retiree from our world-class Canadian oil and gas industry, you're absolutely correct that things like Energy East, Northern Gateway were extremely viable and historic infrastructure projects in their day. Those opportunities are permanently gone now. Canadians made decisions years ago to be poor and an economic vassal of the United States. These are not reversible decisions. You are also dead right regarding Quebec's control of the entire political agenda of the country, with Ontario being their happy partner. Nobody else matters. Daniel Smith gets that, but who knows where that goes? Trump has opened the door to greater integration with the United States, and possibly individual regions of the country will break away. Canada's opportunities are in the past, and we are not a sustainable country on our present high tax, high cost, low growth path. Bang on. 100%. There's a lot of insight there for anybody who's a realist. The whole institution of Canada has made a choice. These hypocrites who said Canada is not for sale, who are virtue signaling about Team Canada, they made a choice to make us, as our friend here says, economic vassals of the United States, completely dependent, resisting resilience, selling off our energy sector to the highest bidder, allowing our nation to be overrun by cartels and mass immigration, to become a resource colony for China and India and the rest of the world at the expense of what used to be our status as a strong middle power of peacekeepers. Our identity has been shattered by these people who are now posing as our saviors. They're not going to save us. They're particularly not going to save the Western provinces with all of our resources, which is why I say again, all the things that they're talking about, this resilience stuff, these are talking points that are 10 years past due. Now we live in a different reality. The Americans are coming. We have weakened ourselves, we've exposed ourselves, and now they're taking advantage of it. And before we lose the ability to reimagine things on our terms, we should be having a conversation. Because the last thing you want to end up is to be a territory or an economic zone of the United States. You want statehood. You want a citizenship. You want your civil rights. You want your constitution. If you don't get those things, it's not that great a deal. Now, if you entertain the conversation about getting that deal, Ottawa might start paying attention and say, you know what? This federation has been ripping things off, and maybe we need to come up with a new deal. And we open that conversation to hold the country together. The only thing that's going to save Canada, ironically, is a threat, an open threat to its existence. If the nation looks like it's going to break up, then there might be incentive for Quebec and Ontario to actually entertain reform to hold the project together. And if not, then it's time for us to leave and take our fortunes elsewhere. And we want to do it as full American citizens with Senate seats, congressional representation, and the ability to vote in elections. Moving on to something far more important, and this is the Alberta Task Force, which recommends a halt to C-19 vaccines in their new report, basically highlighting how the government relied on unreliable data, how thousands of Albertans have been irreversibly harmed because of the rollout of this program, especially in light of the fact that many of those harms were not in at-risk categories. People seem to still hold to this idea, at least some people, that C-19 was this super deadly pandemic. It was not. Most people who got it never had severe symptoms, and yet they were forced to hold passports. They were forced out of their lives. They were forced out of their jobs. And they were forced to take part in a medical experiment which has catastrophically failed. Now, symbolic of the level of stupidity of a lot of people in the Canadian publics, for F's sakes, of course this was coming. They've gone from freedom, don't tell me what to do with my body, to suck it up, lib. We're going to strip you of the option to choose vaccines, UCP version of freedom. Freedom for me, but not for thee. No one's stopping you from choosing vaccines. They're stopping you from taking a dangerous medical product that has no lasting value. That's why you're on your, 13th, 14th booster now? Because they don't work. A vaccine grants immunity. The C-19 treatment never granted immunity. It was a dangerous and horrible medical experiment. Now, let's talk about tone-deaf Ford. Uncle Doug, I joined AstraZeneca in Mississauga to welcome an $820 million expansion to their research and development facility, which our government supported with $16.1 million through the Invest Ontario Fund, as we continue to stand up for Ontario workers. I can't despise this man enough. I can't despise his government enough. There's so much scorn for me. I was there in 2018. I helped him get elected. He hasn't kept any of his promises from the 2018 election. In fact, they've completely forgotten them. AstraZeneca's product was pulled from the Canadian market because it was dangerous, because it was such a failure. Now he's giving $16 million in money he doesn't have because one of the 2018 campaign promises was that he would solve the deficit problem in Ontario. Do you even know what deficit you're running anymore? The favorable media, as much as they pretend to oppose Doug Ford, does not tell you the story about how bad his government actually is because he's part of Team Canada. He's a partner with Trudeau. He is promoting this as some kind of victory. And he's doing it while talking about standing up for Ontario workers, those same Ontario workers that the trade war they're talking about embarking on will destroy. The same Ontario workers who have been priced out of the Ontario housing market because of the unrestricted mass immigration that Doug Ford supports. Number one reason why we have a housing problem in this country is millions and millions of people pouring into this country and crowding everybody else out of all races, colors, and backgrounds. I don't know how a person can exist every day in this state of hypocrisy. That task force report deserves its own video segment, and I think it's very revealing that they waited until the close of business on Friday to actually drop that report, so hopefully over the weekend the limited attention span of the public would just gloss it over. I really hope it's a big issue in the press on Monday, but who really knows? Just some highlights, though. The government withheld important information. These are the facts. Government mandates were completely illegal from the start. Victims, there's been no compensation for victims. Doctors and nurses were negligent in their duty. The government coerced the public with lies into mandates, into taking this product, into telling you that it was safe and effective, which it never was. Closing the schools, completely unnecessary. Life expectancy is dropping across the board. Nobody's really investigating why or whether or not it's linked. The College of Surgeons, at the very least, is unethical. There's a laundry list of things that comes out of this task force report. It should be a wake-up call for the entire country. But instead, so many people are saying that it's a crime to take away these C-19 products, which have been proven to have been a net harm on everybody. Moving on and back to the impending trade war for a second. This is Joe Warmington, a man I admire. I like his journalism. However, this is symbolic of how the media is getting it completely wrong. Trump's obsession with acquiring Canada is our biggest threat since referendums. No, it's not. Our biggest threat as a sovereign nation has been the sitting government. And not just Trudeau and Singh, but also going back to Harper, who started some of these processes. And maybe if they had been managed a little bit better, it could have had a positive outcome for Canada. But Harper created opportunities that Trudeau exploited. The mass immigration, the selling off of our strategic resources, making us completely dependent on the United States, opposing energy development, opposing anything that could fortify Canada and make us a strong, independent nation. We have become, I said it so many times, a resource colony for the world. What does that actually mean? It means being dependent on the Americans, dependent on the Chinese, dependent on India. We've sold our souls out. That's the biggest threat. Not the referendums, which were never really a threat. That was Quebec leveraging itself to put pressure on the federal government to get what it wanted. Look, how did Quebec come to dominate this federation? They threatened to leave. They threatened the federation. And so we all bent over, and they've been giving it to us this entire time. Western Canada needs to learn a lesson from this. I've often said, with all the criticism I level against Quebec, and every bit of it is deserved, they're the only province that uses Confederation properly to get what they want out of it. We should do the same. Now is our opportunity. And I know, snip, snap, I'm going back and forth here. This is Alberta Government Task. This is Carrie Tate. Alberta Government Task Force recommends halting C-19 vaccines in a report rife with suggestions counter to medical consensus. The word consensus has no place in science. There should never be talk of consensus because science should always be investigating itself. We now know. We have the peer-reviewed reports. We have the after-action results. We know it was a mistake. Why are people still hanging on to it? And I just want to highlight the headline, Alberta Releases Secret Report. This report sat on the premier's desk for at least 5 months. Danielle Smith had it in her possession. did not release it because it is very damaging to the government, not just the government of Alberta, but every government in this federation, including the Saskatchewan government. They did it dirty. They did wrong. A lot of people got hurt. The economy got hurt. And it was all for nothing. It was all to enrich AstraZeneca, which Doug Ford is so proud of. That's the legacy of the pandemic. Remember when they shut you in your house and they kept you from your loved ones? They prevented you from gathering. They beat people down in the streets for not wearing a mask. That all happened. It shouldn't be so easily forgotten, especially in light of the facts which we're finally starting to see trickle out. Next up, the headline is province closely considering extending the life of Saskatchewan's coal power plants. Yes, that's all I have to say. Yes, pursue energy independence. To hell with Ottawa, to hell with their regulations, to hell with their carbon tax. Make Saskatchewan independent and proud and autonomous and self-sufficient with the cheapest energy in Canada, if not North America. That's what we should be doing, and we should be doing it with all the resources that we have at our disposal, which are owned by the province and which can be developed by the province. And if Ottawa wants to stop us, we should send a very clear message that we're not willing to listen anymore. Next up on the docket, Canada Post gets $1 billion federal bailout to avoid insolvency in 2025. Yes, Canada Post is broke. And I remind you that these are the very same people whose union just went on strike for a massive wage increase, as well as they wanted funding from Canada Post for their transgender surgeries and treatments, amongst a laundry list of things that they felt that they were entitled to. Now, I know people who have worked at Canada Post. They're great people. It's not about you as individuals, but the union is out to lunch. You cannot demand more when you are broke and bankrupt and depending on the taxpayer to keep you going. Look, Crown corporations are supposed to be profitable, particularly this Crown corporation is supposed to generate a profit. And if they don't generate a profit, rather than going back to the government to ask for money, they should be retooling to figure out how to make money. Now, this one's kind of fun. Chandra Arya, I just submitted my application package to the Leadership Committee of the Liberal Party of Canada. Hopefully it will be processed within a day or two and then forwarded to Elections Canada. Wyatt Claypool over at the National Telegraph says, did Chandra Arya raise money faster than Mark Carney? And he's laughing and having a good time. The real good time is that there is a movement on X right now and on social media, and it's not too late for you to partake. The Liberals decided in their infinite wisdom that they would open voting for their leadership, for the leadership of the Liberal Party, for the next Prime Minister of Canada. It is open to anybody, anywhere on the planet, basically. Let's just pretend for a minute it's anybody in Canada, but it's practically anybody on the planet. 14 years of age or older, you can go and register for free, and you can vote for anybody that's running for leader. And there's a whole pile of people racing to join the Liberal Party right now to support this man. The establishment wants Mark Carney. The Liberal Party that's broken this nation, the Liberal Party that's put themselves first, the Liberal Party that's lied and demeaned and destroyed their way through the last 9 years, wants Mark Carney, and they want him bad. This guy would be a foil. This guy would be a big monkey wrench. There's also a fellow by the name of Clark. I don't care what you do. I'm personally not going to do it because it's not something that I would do. But I would not discourage anybody else from doing it. If you want to join the Liberal Party and make somebody, I mean, he doesn't speak a lick of French. He can barely speak English. He has some good ideas. But boy, oh boy, can you just, I love watching liberals bend themselves and contort themselves into ever more complicated pretzels. And this man's ascension to the leadership would do that. So you still have time. You can go and join the Liberal Party and you can vote. Now we're going to try and get into rapid fire mode. Ottawa asked to use provincial jails to house criminal asylum seekers fleeing the United States. Provincial jails are already overflowing, even though we're not keeping anybody in jail for violent crime, turning them loose on the street. Now Ottawa wants to cram more people in there to deal with a problem that they themselves have created by not enforcing our borders. The solution is to just deport everybody. Kick them out. It's time to send people home. Former trade rep says Alberta undermined Canada as Trump warns of failed state status. This headline is a misnomer. Trump didn't warn of a failed state status. He is quoting Governor Trudeau saying that if the United States went forward with a trade war, Canada would be a failed state. Trump is quoting the governor. And the fact is, the governor hasn't come out and said anything counter to Trump's claim. Did Trudeau actually describe Canada as a failed state? And why is Global News not communicating that in their headline, that it is a quote that Trump made of Trudeau? They create the wrong impression. And by the way, Alberta is looking out for Alberta. That is Daniel Smith's job. The premiers are not loyal to Canada. The premiers are loyal to their provinces. She's doing a great job. And if in doing her job, it undermines Canada, if protecting the interests of millions of Albertans undermines Canada, then once again, I say, maybe the problem is with Canada. The headline is, Trump says he'll reinstate troops who refuse C-19 vaccination. Where are you on this one, Pierre? Zelensky passed on deal, decided to fight, and is no angel. That is Trump talking about the war in Ukraine. The war in Ukraine needs to end. The killing needs to stop. And because Ukraine and the West chose to fight this war against the Russians, knowing full well they couldn't win, Ukraine's going to have to give something up. Just the way it is. If we want peace and we want the killing to stop, Ukraine's going to leave something on the table, and everybody's going to have to accept it. Trump halts Ukraine aid as State Department totally went nuclear on foreign assistance. That's right. The State Department has stopped for 90 days all foreign assistance, and Ukraine is not exempt. Now, there are a few exemptions, looking at Israel here. The Trump State Department on Friday halted spending on almost all foreign aid grants for 90 days, which also appears to apply to funding for military assistance to Ukraine. I said about a year and a half ago, I said on my ex profile that eventually there's going to come a point where Zelensky is thrown to the wolves, where he is sacrificed. And we're at that point now. The Ukrainian government, and Trump has been talking about this too, he said that Zelensky's no baby, that he wanted the war. The Ukrainian government is one of the most corrupt governments in the world. And whether people like it or not, it is neo-fascist. For all the talk of Elon Musk doing questionable hand gestures and giving a speech before the AfD in Germany and having the audacity to say that the German people alive today who had nothing to do with the Second World War should be able to move on and have some semblance of national pride. He is being excoriated in the media. Meanwhile, the same people fawn over the Ukrainians who have within their ranks hardcore, literal neo-Nazis. The hypocrisy just, it goes on and on and on. People don't want to accept or engage with the fullness of the truth. It's like when I started this video talking about Pierre Polyev. There is a nuanced story there. There are good things and there are bad things, and we need to talk about them both. This idea of team sport, the first sacrifice in team sport is the truth, because you're loyal to an idea, or you're loyal to a flag, or you're loyal to a party, you're loyal to a banner, you're loyal to a man. There's an aspect of faith in it. There's an aspect of belief which makes you blind to all facts that counter your narrative. You should save your faith for God and God alone. And with men, only deploy your reason. I just want to make a point about Cult Montreal. They are just quite the X account. Traditional conservatives should support Mark Carney in Canada's next election. And of course, they're going to go on to make this case that he is the conservative choice for the Liberal Party. He is the globalist choice for the Liberal Party. And let's talk about Mark Carney's record, actually. I should have that queued up somewhere here. Let me just find out. First off, Cult Montreal, who is supporting Mark Carney, is a member of the Quebec Community Newspapers Association, which is partnered with the Government of Canada under the Local Journalism Initiative, and they can get up to $60,000 a year for individual journalists. How much public money goes into publishing this basically far left rag. The second thing is Mark Carney's record with the Bank of England. He tanked the British economy. He earned the nickname Unreliable Boyfriend from a former UK MP. Inflation was increased. The business growth was down. He printed money. He got involved in politics. That's the other thing. Sorry if I'm a little disjointed. I'm reading as I'm going and refreshing my mind. I want to get this all cleared out so that we can start the week fresh. The Bank of England is supposed to be impartial. And he got involved in the Brexit debate, making public statements about it to try and curtail Brexit. Now, you can argue about how Brexit went for everybody and if they got what they wanted of the deal. But Mark Carney's management of the Bank of England led to a lot of crises within the British Isles. So he isn't all that great. He said in a previous clip in a video I released yesterday, he talked about how he starts at the top of these institutions. Well, we should look at his record of management. When it comes to the Bank of England, his most recent tenure, it was terrible for the English people. It turns out upon review, there's still a bunch of stuff that I could get into, and I'm probably going to have to revisit some of this stuff. What I'm learning here in real time is that trying to rush through a bunch of things doesn't work either. You're better off to just have a backlog and explain things more fulsomely. I'm Frank Vaughn. If you enjoy the work, please consider supporting it through the website, and I'll see you in the coming week. Did you know that I have a website? FrankVaughn.ca, the ultimate repository for all of my work, and a backup location just in case the censors come for me again. And if you like the content, please consider using the donate link in one of the options available. There are no paywalls, there is no advertising, and there is no Patreon, and I intend to keep it that way. Thank you for your time and your consideration.